City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 347. I'm Amy Matheny.
Happy New Year, and I'm Deb Pierce.
Happy New Year. It's like Frosty the Snowman. No, that's Happy Birthday.
I know exactly how I like it.
Happy Birthday. Happy New Year.
It is a Happy New Year so far. We're just into it, and I have to tell you, I'm calling it Lucky 2010.
You're Lucky 2010?
Lucky 2010 or Lucky 210 or whatever people are saying.
2010.
Yeah, happy, lucky 2010. Oh, my God, that almost sounds like 90210.
That's why I was saying.
Nice. I picked up what you were putting down, Matheny. I
appreciate
gotcha.
It. I'm feeling it. 2010, 2010. What else are people calling it?
I'm trying to figure that out. Now I'm calling it Y2K plus 10.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's very fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What do people... I mean, you know, it used to be so easy to be like in 98 or in 84 or in 99.
Mm-hmm.
It was just easier to roll off the tongue. People aren't short-forming it to 10, though, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think they are short-forming it to, hey, in February 10, are you available?
It's so weird, right?
Yeah. Science fiction like 2010. Doesn't it seem a bit science fiction-y?
Well, since it's the end of the world in 2012, according to the movie, we've only got two more good years. So you might as well just be a hedonistic person for the next 2 years.
Oh, I don't know if I should go and start doing something else.
I know. We're not doing enough. That's the problem, I'm sure.
It would seem.
I'm sure of it. You know, it's strange because I remember being a young little tyke. Not quite yet a dyke.
I was going to say, rhymes with, what did you just call yourself? Yeah.
Yes. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, in 2000, you know, what that'll be like in 2010. I never thought past 2010. I never thought.
Interesting. Did you think there'd be, like, flying cars all over the place and stuff?
I don't know. I just remember thinking it was a really long time away.
And when was this? When you were a teeny bopper?
Yeah, when I was young and I was thinking... Yeah. You know, when I would be close to my mom's age or close to a big, bad adult, you know?
Right.
I'm still looking for the day.
Yeah, it did seem far away as a kid, and my birth year is 69, so that is like...
That's sexy.
You know, that is... Thank you very much. It seems arguably it's 40 years ago, but it seems so long away from those years.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's crazy. And now we're going to start having kids not born in the 80s, which already freaks me out when people tell me they're born in the 80s
or born weird, right?
In the 90s. But we're going to start really knowing little people born in the 2000s.
I know.
Weird.
Well, all my nieces and all my godchildren are born in the 2000s. It's weird.
But they're little bitty. But when they start becoming like real little people, like teenagers, that's when it's going to be weird. When we're old lesbians on golf courses with cocktails in our hands and cigarettes because we don't give a shit, and there's like a beverage girl that pulls up.
I'm going to pinch her bum, just so you know, and I'm going to try to get away with it because I'm 85.
This is what I'm saying, and she's going to have been born in the 2000s.
That makes it all so dirty. That's fantastic, sweetie, fantastic. You and me in Boca, yeah.
You and me in Boca, baby. Right, sweetheart, sweetie.
Yeah, big oversized glasses, yes.
Oh, sweetie, do you mind if I call you sweetie, sweetheart?
Bring no, sweetie, sweetie, bring darling. Do you mind if I call you darling, sweetie?
Darling, sweetie, darling. Bring me a gin martini, darling, sweetie.
Absolutely. Some Stolly and Bolly, darling. All right.
For some PR on the golf course.
So has 2010, 2010, been good to you so far?
You know, it has. I had my mother in town, which is a rare occurrence, Virginia and I, it's been so blooming cold here. You're north of us, so I'm sure you're possibly made of ice right now.
Yes, it's disgusting. I can't even wash my car or I won't be able to get back in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but she was in town for a few days and we had a delightful time. We saw the new Meryl Streep movie, which I highly recommend. Very funny.
Nice.
I just want to live in Nancy Meyer's world where women are over 50 and they're fabulous, but they also married really well to men they eventually are not with, but they get more than half of whatever he made. They have fabulous wardrobes, jobs that they're fabulously successful at, but never really have to deal with. And they have these fantastic affairs. I'm like, that is the life I want at 50. I, you know, that is the recipe for success.
That's a good goal right there.
I think so.
That's a nice life goal. You might want to put that on your bucket list.
Yeah, it's totally true. So
you know, I knew that would be a good movie when I saw it. I wanted to see that, or it's complicated. I saw Have You Met the or Have You Seen the Morgans with Hugh Grant and Sarah Jessica Parker, thinking it would be cheeky and cute and mindless over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
The two funniest parts of I called early to get a seat next to the mayonnaise,
mm-hmm.
and I'm running behind my horse. The two funniest lines in the whole movie.
Yep.
Did you know that? Somebody should warning label these movies.
Yeah. Kelly really wanted to see it, and I said, oh, my God, that looks so funny. Because I'm a real Hugh Grant sucker. Like, he can just say anything. Like, the trailer of him saying, my wife is a member of PETA. I have been meaning to join. Like, I think that's the funniest damn thing I've ever seen. But what you know is, like, the trailers are the best bits of the film.
Yep,
It's complicated, the trailers are not even the best bits of the film.
Okay.
Because some of the best performances are not even shown in the trailers because they're actors who are not Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep, although their performances are brilliant and funny.
Of course
so,
they are.
Run, don't walk.
I can get to beyond the fact that he's very puffy. He's a very swollen man, that Alec Baldwin.
Yes, but they even make fun of that, and you actually even get to see how swollen and puffy he is. It's quite funny. I mean, it's really like laid bare by both of them, especially him. So it's
straight out of themselves. I like that. I like that about seasoned actors. That's good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. And today on the show, Richard Knight Jr. is going to be taking us to see the new Sherlock Holmes film with those two sexy lesbians, Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law.
Love them. I didn't know it was Jude Law in the trailer until I saw his name at the end.
Yeah. Aren't they two boys that, like, most lesbians would sleep with?
Totally. They're so cute. They're my type. Absolutely.
Yep. I mean, if you throw Rob Lowe in the mix, it's like the prettiest three men.
Well, you love Rob Lowe, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Like
all lesbians love Rob Lowe. Come on. He's so pretty.
He is. He is very pretty. He is pretty. And, you know, and in the 80s, he was just really something. And then in Brothers and Sisters, he does have an interesting sustainability about him or a comeback about him.
Mm-hmm.
The most subtle comeback in TV history, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just kind of crept in there on Brothers and Sisters and is really holding his own, I think.
He's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
He's lovely. So here's what I need to know. Do you make resolutions in our 2010, 2010, as I'm going to refer to it?
because I'm a 90210 kind of hoe. I guess I do to myself. Anything else is a bit of a setup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the pressure of that just seems like you're setting yourself up for, you know, a bit of failure and something that seems whimsical and date specific as opposed to when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I quit smoking. You and I quit smoking March 1st. So how mm-hmm. random is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know each other at the time.
Years ago.
Know that about ourselves, but I guess I would have to say I've been looking back on pictures of me between 1997 and 2007. I came across a photo album on, I hate to say the F word, Amy.
Oh, God. Okay, say it. I'm
Facebook,
prepped.
Facebook. Ah! I said it twice.
You did. Say it again.
Facebook.
Okay.
And I look at myself and I'm like, yep. Need to do that again. And, you know, I was drinking and smoking and partying a lot. And I think that's where that physique came from. But I looked at a picture today of me on stage with two naked burlesque dancers, and I've got a white tank top on and dress pants and these 70s heels and facial hair. And I'm looking back at the audience over my shoulder, and I'm like, yep, want that again. So do I make resolutions? Not officially. Am I making a vow to eat better and exercise more? Absolutely. I'm on a cabbage soup cleanse right now.
Ooh.
Yeah, I could be rocket fueled by the end of it.
I was about to say.
if you hear my voice trailing off saying, Happy New Year! I've actually taken off completely.
Everybody I know's on a damn cleanse right now.
It's
I feel
nice.
Like all my friends are going to be irritable all around me. That
yeah,
would make
it
me
is,
so irritable.
The only thing I want right now is just like a direct, like a water faucet of chocolate just poured down my throat. That's really, that's the thing that I miss the most. I like the crunch factor. I like a good Cheez-It.
Yep.
I really do. I like Cheez-Its mixed with popcorn, hot air popcorn. Wondering why I got the size I am, and chocolate. So those things I just have to replace with, you know, running a little bit more or something.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do in our climate between Chicago and Toronto. It's or Niagara, where do I live? It's not easy to do outdoor activity.
Yep.
You know?
No, well that's why I do the tennis indoors.
Yeah.
That's helpful. And yet they have a little gym and I just walk right past it to a tennis court. Not that a tennis workout is not a workout, but not the same workout. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying it here. I shouldn't be saying it here, but I think my partner is going to quit smoking. And I have told her I will get rid of something temporarily for 90 days while she stops smoking.
Good.
And it's
the best
either,
thing she'll ever do for herself. That's
it
the
would,
greatest thing.
It would be. And I've already done it, but I am happy. There's something else I can easily give away for 3 months and have it help my body. So it's either going to have to be sugar, which would be really hard for me, or...
Same time she's quitting smoking. Why would you do that to both of you, really?
Well, just because be so when she looks at me and says, you don't know how hard it is, that I'm going, yes, I do, because I'm not eating blank, you know?
Right.
So then the other thing to get rid of would be all what I call the white foods, rice, bread, pasta, potatoes.
Yep.
And that one it is equally hard, you know?
And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. When you talk to vegans and people with gluten allergies or wheat allergies, you realize just how crazy the white death, people call it white death, is, you know?
I mean, eat a ton of white food, but...
But it is in a lot of stuff.
But I don't eat a lot of it. But I would probably not eat whole grains either. I would not eat any bread.
I was going to say, you're not doing very well for yourself if you're giving up something you don't do very often.
No, I know. But, you know, it is what it is.
But I mean, that's a nice thing. That's a nice thing to do. I just don't give up too much or you guys will end up, you know, you'll start smoking again.
I'll start smoking again. That's the funny thing is that I look at pictures from the past and we were going through some old pictures a long time ago. And I was looking at some and I was laughing and I was really puffy. And I was probably about 10 pounds heavier than I am now. And I was newly kind of, I don't know, a year or two since I'd been out. And I thought, oh, my God, I look so chunky. And yet I was so happy right then.
Yeah.
And then I look at this picture of me where I was miserable. I was chain smoking. I was eating very little. I was not in a good place in my in the relationship I was in. I was not in a good place in a lot of ways, and I am about 10 pounds thinner than I am right now. Right. And I look at that picture and I'm like, oh my God, I look fabulous. And I'm
it's
like,
true.
Where is the discrepancy here? So my,
I know, and it's true. It's when you go through, it's like when you go through a breakup, you lose weight, you party more than you ever do, you sleep less, you look fantastic, but you couldn't be left together.
Yep.
You've got less to present to the world physically. You lose the weight, but you're like so screwed up.
Yep. I want to, my goal for 2010, and I'm going to say it out loud, and okay, there'll be many manifestations of how that happens, is I want to look fabulous on the outside and feel fabulous on the inside. And those photographs showed me the disparity. So. Yep.
Well, I think you're fabulous, Amy
Messina. Aww. I feel pretty good. You know, don't get me wrong. I feel pretty good inside and pretty good outside. I just got a little stuff to the outside. The aging process, you know.
Well, that's the inevitable. What are you going to do to change that?
You just got to live even better.
Oh, even healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about starting eye cream. I look at my best friend, 39, and we have a picture of ourselves at midnight on New Year's Eve at my house. We had a huge Hawaiian set murder mystery luau. And I look at the picture and I look like the back of a baby's bottom that's all wrinkly, my eyes. And she's got nothing. And she uses like Q10 or whatever those eye treatments are. I think there's something to those.
Oh, I use the heavy creams. I have those.
You don't have any? You don't have any lines.
Oh, I do. I'm blonde. How can you not have lines and be blonde? Is your friend blonde or has she got lots of dark olive and dark hair? Yeah.
Dark, yeah.
No, we cannot compare ourselves to the African-American race or any other race that's not white, pasty, Caucasian blondies like you and I.
And how many sunburns have we had? And how many times with our blue eyes have we had to squint ridiculously from the sun?
Yep.
Oh, I feel better for us. Yep. Bring it on, wrinkles, I say. I've got ear wrinkles. We've talked about this before.
Those are from smoking. Hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Those are fun.
I wanted
smoking
to smoke this holiday season, Amy Matheny.
Ooh. Well,
all my friends were going out. Some of them were smoking pot, but most of them were just smoking cigarettes. And I thought, I really miss that, where you go and you leave the party and you go out and smoke and talk about everyone in the party. Mm. I really miss that.
I don't miss that. And I don't have many friends that smoke anymore, so.
I know. There's a small group of them.
The closeted smokers. There aren't many of them.
No, there aren't. My sister quit for months and then went back. She was absolutely miserable. She was just born to be a smoker.
All right. Well, just keep that resolution. Don't smoke.
I'm not smoking. And I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to look like that drag king on stage at Lee's Palace in 2003.
All right. Then we're going to put that picture up at some point soon on our blog.
Oh, I'll send you that. I'll send you that picture for sure.
Right. Send us that picture. We'll post it on the blog.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, we have a really big show on today. Kate Clinton, the lesbian comedian extraordinaire, also partnered by one of the most awesome, fearless women, Urvashi Vaidya, who I also adore. Great couple. Kate Clinton.
The most powerful couple ever.
They are. They're just amazing. Before Ellen and Portia, there were Urvashi and Kate. So, Kate Clinton is coming to Chicago. She's got a 3-city tour, and potentially, maybe, she'll be coming to a city near you because, you know we have our lovely listeners who are not in the Chicago area. We love you all muchly, and Kate may be coming to a city near you with her new Lady Ha Ha tour, and exactly. Cue laugh track. She's brilliant.
Have you met
Kate Clinton?
You know what? Speaking of coming to a city near you, I went to a city near her as people well know who know her. She does Provincetown every year, and I go to Provincetown every year and have seen her before. But this year, she was doing something very special with Lily Tomlin for the dog park. Mm. And I was able to not only interview Lily Tomlin, but I interviewed Kate Clinton. We both had coffee by the ocean. The sun was setting, and I just love her. She is so sweet and so engaging and ridiculously smart, but not that intimidating smart that makes you feel dumb.
Yep.
And she's just so quick and on it. And there's nothing she's ever said in my presence that I don't completely agree with.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And she's not an insecure comedian. She's a really informed, politically aware, funny lady.
Yeah. She's an astute, funny lesbian. That's what I love about her.
She's
her
finger
on the pulse. And then also on the ticker tape.
Yeah, she absolutely does. You know, and it was there was so much material with her last name and Hillary Clinton and everything. So
right.
The fact that she's staying current, you know, and doing the Lady Ha Ha tour, that's too funny. It's too funny. And she's very web savvy. She's very bloggy, and she's got video blogs, and she's on it.
She's on it. I follow her on Twitter. We're going to talk all about that. Also, Kirk is joining me to bring in the new year with all the new news. Something about Tyra. And also, we're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. Theater is just starting to crackle again here at the beginning of the year. Lots of new shows coming down the pike. And Richard Knight Jr. taking us to that sexy Sherlock Holmes film. Is it one to rush to the theaters and see? Well, Richard will let us know all that after this.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite, and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
New Hampshire has become the fifth state to allow same-sex marriage after a measure Governor John Lynch signed last year. Any of the state's 600-plus same-sex couples who obtained a civil union can simply convert that certificate into a marriage license.
The U.S. Senate confirmed Sharon Lubinsky as a federal marshal on December 24th, making her the first openly gay individual to achieve the position. Lubinsky, an assistant Minneapolis police chief, was nominated by President Obama in October.
The Los Angeles Police Department has ended its association with the Boy Scouts of America because of its policy of excluding gays, atheists, and agnostics. Therefore, the BSA's Explorers program, which allows youth to assist the police, is being revamped. Openly Gay Police Commissioner Robert Salzman said the new program will be as good or better than the program it replaces.
Former Marine and Iraq vet Michael J. Griffin, who is 25, has confessed to killing Indiana University professor Don Belton after retaliating for two alleged sexual assaults Belton committed on Christmas Day. However, court documents reveal that Belton wrote in his journal that he was very happy that an individual by the name of Michael has come into his life. Griffin has been charged with murder.
Karl Rove, former advisor to President George W. Bush, has divorced his wife of 24 years. Rove has been the subject of gay rumors for years, but they have not been substantiated.
In Washington, D.C., police are asking for the public's help after Anthony J. Perkins, a 29-year-old gay man, and was found shot dead. Lieutenant Paul Wingate has confirmed Perkins' sexual orientation, but added that there is no evidence of a hate crime.
In San Jose, 20-year-old lesbian Leticia Martinez died after being beaten and/or dragged by a car. Jennifer Bautista, Martinez's former girlfriend, has been arrested. However, Bautista's brothers reportedly did not care for Martinez because they felt she made their sister a lesbian. Police have said that the killing is not a hate crime.
In Illinois, the U.S. Senate race has taken on a unique twist as Republican candidate Andy Martin has questioned party opponent Mark Kirk's sexual orientation. Martin states in the ad that Illinois Republican leader Jack Roser says there is a solid rumor that Kirk is a homosexual. In a press conference held December 28th, openly gay Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Jacob Meister criticized Martin's tactic, saying, Mr. Martin's statements are clear attempts to use sexual orientation as a political weapon and are criminal in their perpetuation of ignorance and prejudice.
In Louisiana, bartender Robert LeCompte was stabbed to death inside a night spot known as the Drama Club. Detectives have not found a motive, although Randall Chestnut, the owner of the gay welcoming club, said that robbery fueled the killing. About $4,000 was missing from the establishment. Approximately 100 friends, relatives, and acquaintances recently gathered in the club's parking lot to mourn LeCompte's passing.
Maryland's Motor Vehicle Administration has postponed a policy change that would have required transgender residents to obtain a court order or amended birth certificate to alter the gender designation on driver's licenses and ID cards. Gay rights advocates praise the delay. They support the previous policy, which lets people change the classification if they provide a doctor's or psychologist's report confirming they are undergoing sexual reassignment.
In Virginia, trans woman Maria Benata Santamaria has spent more than half a year in solitary confinement because of fears that she would be raped by male prisoners in the state prison. For the past 2 years, Santamaria, who pled guilty to trafficking 10 pounds of methamphetamine, has been undergoing hormone treatments in advance of gender reassignment surgery. Recently, a judge ordered that she should go to a federal facility.
In Toledo, a fight in a gay bar resulted in a man's death. The fight allegedly took place on the dance floor of Caesar's Show Bar. The brawl then continued outside when Marlon Woods tried to protect another person. However, Woods himself was beaten after leaving the establishment. One man has been arrested in connection with the fight, but no one has yet faced murder charges.
Outback Steakhouse has agreed to pay $19 million to settle a class action lawsuit alleging sex discrimination against thousands of women. The lawsuit filed by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in federal court in Colorado in 2006 said female workers could not get promoted to the profit-sharing management positions and did not receive favorable job assignments.
In world news, former NBA player John Amici has said that teams, coaches, and executives are the sources of homophobia in sports, and that fans are not responsible. Amici, who is now a political activist in England and who did not reveal his sexuality until after he retired, was responding to comments that vicious homophobic fans were the reason few gay athletes come out of the closet. Recently, Welsh rugby star Gareth Thomas came out. He still plays for a professional team.
In England, BBC News presenter Jane Hill has revealed that she is a lesbian by saying that she lives in North London with her partner Sarah and their dog Mavis. Hill joined the BBC in 1991 and has been a news reader for 12 years.
Jose Maria Di Bello and Alex Fryer became the first same-sex couple to marry in Latin America when they wedded in Argentina recently. They wore red sashes around their suits as a nod to HIV awareness. State and federal officials witnessed the ceremony.
In Malawi, two men were arrested after getting married in the country's first public same-sex ceremony. The couple could be sentenced to as many as 14 years in prison. The head of the Center for Human Rights and Rehabilitation said that the men had violated the country's law, but added that society cannot deny the existence of gays.
In entertainment news, Tyra Banks has announced that this will be the last season of her talk show. Banks plans to focus on a new film production company, Bankable Studios, and will stay involved with her show America's Next Top Model.
Rosie O'Donnell is apparently moving on as she has been spotted with a new girlfriend. O'Donnell was seen in Miami walking hand in hand with Texas-based artist Tracy Katchdick Anders. In November, O'Donnell disclosed that partner Kelly Carpenter had moved out of their home 2 years ago. They have four kids together. However, Katchdick Anders has six children of her own. Five are adopted.
During one of his Cirque du Soleil performances, entertainer Chris Angel was allegedly involved in an anti-gay incident. During a trick in which Angel reads a word from an audience member, that night's word turned out to be faggot. The incident offended several of his dancers who demanded an apology. Since the occurrence, a protocol has been put in place in case the situation should reoccur.
Autopsy results conclude that Stephen Gately, the openly gay singer who was part of the Irish group Boyzone, died of the heart condition atheromatosis, defined as a thickening of the arteries. However, the disease is rare in individuals under 50.
Matthew Morrison, star of TV's Glee, has set the record straight about his sexuality. Morrison said, "I grew up singing and dancing, so people have been calling me gay since fifth grade. I've heard everything you could possibly hear about it. But I do love gay people, so I'm not going to act like I was insulted or angry about it."
Rapper Eminem is censoring his own lyrics to avoid anti-gay protests when he is in England. Promoters for the 2010 Wireless Festival were concerned that gay rights activists would protest the event if Eminem were on the list of performers. Outrage, a British GLBT rights group, has said it will not picket if the rapper does not perform any anti-gay lines.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go! I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. So Sherlock Holmes, director Guy Ritchie's bid for blockbuster success, doesn't stretch his talents one iota. The Victorian time period of the material and the big budget to recreate it, the constant banter between stars Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law as Holmes and sidekick Watson, and the familiar by-the-numbers plot of nefarious doings offers him a sturdy template to apply his usual battery of camera tricks to. The result, a mixture of chop-socky, lavish peer detail, some high-flying theatrics on the part of Downey, who seems to speak with rocks in his mouth, not unlike your friendly reviewer here, and Mark Strong is yet another baddie set to Hans Zimmer's witty, non-stop score, is an immensely likable movie, a sort of grown-up version of Barry Levinson's young Sherlock Holmes. As in that sadly overlooked effort, it should have been the first of many installments. The plot involves one of those secret societies headed by a stylish madman who wants to take over first London and then the world. Soon the game's afoot, and with Watson in tow, Sherlock and his sidekick are racing about the cloudy London streets. The skies are so inky and ominous that one expects Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett to make an appearance at any moment. Downey and Law verbally spar throughout, and there's more than a hint of a homoerotic undertow, certainly on Holmes' part, whose peevishness over Watson's impending engagement, which is responsible for breaking up the duo's happy home, is a subplot of the film. Not even the arrival of Holmes' ex-lover Irene Adler, played by Rachel McAdams, a former criminal nemesis, seems to distract much from Holmes' attraction to Law. And, can you blame him? Stylish and fun, running on Ritchie's brand of kinetic energy, the director has wrought a Sherlock Holmes hybrid that's sure to entertain movie audiences for years to come. I look forward to at least 20 more adventures, and the film in which Holmes will finally reveal the nature of his true feelings for Watson comes out. A whole new game will certainly be afoot at that point. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on stage at the Cadillac Palace Theater, it's the sensational new production of the hit musical, Dreamgirls.
We are Dreamgirls, the boys will make you happy.
Take an unforgettable journey with the dreams as they try to make their way to the top. It's the one musical that has it all. The backstage drama, the onstage glamour, and all the songs you love from stage and screen. Listen to the music, feel the joy, catch the dream. If you only have one night to see a Broadway musical, see the all-new, spectacular Dreamgirls.
Coming soon to the Cadillac Palace Theater, January 19th through 31st. For tickets, call 1-800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 5th, 2010, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical, Million Dollar Quartet. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. Now extended through March 28th at the Apollo Theater.
The Harris Theater hosts two of Broadway's biggest names this March. Stephen Sondheim, the master of the musical, celebrates his 80th birthday during a special audience Q&A and conversation with Gary Griffin on March 4th. Also, Chicago native and Tony Award-winning actress Christine Ebersole performs One Night Only, March 25th, a concert of standards and Broadway favorites. Visit harristheaterchicago.org today. Tickets for both shows are on sale now and going fast. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey guys, this is Elizabeth Kina, and you're on the Windy City Queercast. Have a good one.
I'm show you how I do it best. Put my lips on your mouth, keep you coming around, cause I like it, yeah. Put your hands on my hips, take me down, sink that ship. Boy, I can't resist. I wanna wear my hair all in a mess. Cut on jeans, can you get with that? Give you something like you never had. Cause I only wanna be wanting my young days. You better beg of me. And you're on your knees, and it's hard to breathe.
Kate Clinton has been making us laugh for decades. A winner of the Pioneer Award from GLAAD Media, Kate is an astute political observer, award-winning blogger, champion of women's rights, and everyday lesbian. She is the author of books Don't Get Me Started, What the L, and her newest, I Told You So, which is coming out in paperback in March. And she has performed on stages around the U.S., and she's now taking her tour, her new Lady Ha Ha show, on the road this month. And so we are ecstatic to have the Lady Ha Ha on our show today. Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You know,
I like
really,
the sound of the Lady Ha Ha.
I love the Lady Ha Ha. You know, we feel like here at Windy City, because she performed before her CD came out, the Lady Gaga, which I know is your homage. She performed at our Windy City Gay Idol in 2008, and we announced her. Nobody knew who she was. And within a year, she was a uber star. So
yeah.
You are obviously playing homage to her. Are you going to be wearing a leotard for this tour?
I'll be wearing a great deal of eye makeup and giant wigs.
And an alien on your face. That's what I love about her.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the Lady Gaga? Is she shaking things up?
I enjoy the Lady Gaga. I enjoy her musicality, mm-hmm. her fashion sense and fashion-forward look, and she has great politics.
She does indeed. She does indeed. She kind of is walking the walk and talking the talk, which I'm impressed.
It does, sounds like me, doesn't it?
Right it there? Does. It does.
I now, don't have the bubble dress, but
she might loan it to you. She's just that kind of gal.
Yeah.
She's a regular old gal, just like you, Kate Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So walking the walk and talking the talk, is President Obama doing that for us right now in the U.S. and for the GLBT community?
You know, I think that he is finding that it's one thing to run for office and another thing to actually govern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure he knew that. He's a very smart guy. And, you know, I think that there are lots of things that are intervening.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Recession, mm-hmm. Two wars, the terrorist threat again. And so I think that that's all, you know, in his face. That said, I think he could show more leadership.
Mm.
But I do think that your dear Rahm Emanuel was so frightened by the reaction when he was in the Clinton years to the, you know, the army, the gays in the military thing, that he's very skittish about that.
Mm.
And I would just point out to him that, you know, it's been 16 years. America has changed, and mm-hmm. the gay population certainly has changed. So, you know, I think there's that. I do know, however, that lots of friends of mine have gotten jobs in the Obama administration, have had a difficult time sometimes getting through the vetting process because of, you know, stonewalling by the right wing, obscene stonewalling. But and that people who have, you know, gone to the government before for example, help with their gay community center would get a maybe 10 or 15 minute meeting with somebody who was constantly checking their watch, if they got in at all. And now I know people who have gone and they've chatted and they've been watching their own watch and ready to pop up, and the person has said, no, sit down, what else are you doing? You know, it's a huge sea change that's happening, I really believe. And I know friends that have said, you know, things that we couldn't get out of committee now are just coming out of committee.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes a while to be seen. It certainly, democracy takes time. As we saw, fascism's really fast.
Yeah.
You know, just Or just those night signing agreements, you know, like you sign a bill during the day and then at night you go, didn't mean it, ha ha.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand. I think we need all the pressure on Obama. And I also think that we must take into account, I mean, the things that, you know, are like, oh, let's review Obama's report card, as if he were the only person in the class.
Right.
The Senate, the Congress, is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just stonewalling. And, you know, that old ploy to get, am I talking too long?
No, I love it.
you know, that ploy to get the sort of conservative Democrats who were against abortion elected in conservative areas has backfired for me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that Congress is a mess. And I certainly am disappointed in some things in Obama, but I have to tell you, it's a pleasure to be merely disappointed than in the despair of the Bush years.
Yeah.
Disappointment's nice.
Well, now, you know, and but, I wonder when we say, you know, he's that we could put pressure on Obama. I think we really get in with Michelle. I think she has the influence over him. Don't you think? I mean, I think she
absolutely
wears the pants in that family.
She's got the guns in the family.
Doesn't she?
I mean, yeah, I think that she absolutely is, has gay people in her life, you know, is comfortable. And I do think that she's been pushing him, you know, but then there's the nut jobs who are like, well, that she's just the first lady. She cannot, it's not a 2-for-1 deal. Remember Bill Clinton, you know, it's like, oh, shut up.
But, you know, there's nothing like a strong woman to, you know, kind of have by your side. You have been partnered for over 20 years to Ivashi Ved. What is the secret to longevity in a relationship, in a gay relationship, you know? I mean, the lesbians, we stay around longer. Usually our exes talk to us. I am the exception to that rule. But but what is the secret?
I think the secret to our long relationship is 2 sinks in the bathroom.
I get ya.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
She wears contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't see a mess at her sink. And I have to ignore it. I just have to let her live with it. And definitely 2 sinks.
That's true. When I bought my house, I looked at the master and it had 2 sinks. And I said, okay, we won't have a divorce in this house.
Yeah.
I get ya. I get that entirely. What are we going to do with all of those 10,000 married gays in California? This Prop 8 trial is coming up. I mean, should this thing be televised? Now this is the new big push.
Oh, absolutely. I think it should be televised. No need for those poor plaintiffs to sit and be insulted all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's good too. I mean, I have 2 friends who are a couple in north of San Francisco who are plaintiffs in that case, and oh my God, what they have gone through for us is just astounding, and what they've had to sit through and be called. I definitely think it should be televised. I believe in transparency, and I believe in the donor lists to be, you know, definitely let those go, let them be out in the open. I was thinking that maybe we should have, well, Alcatraz is empty, and we put all of the gay couple, there would be sort of like a petri dish, a kind of study of gay marriage. Let's see how it goes. You know, a little tour boat that go out and go, hey, how's that marriage coming?
Yeah.
Well, good, but we could use some snacks. You know, just be a study.
God, can you imagine how they would, what they would do to Alcatraz? Like the lesbians would be out there like fixing up amazing, you know, projects, and the gay men would be out there decorating it. It'd be like this fabulous castle on the sea. Would rival Madonna's castle in Scotland. Does she still have that? So, well, travel seems to be the topic of the day again.
Yeah. Again.
What are we going to do with travel? I mean, are these body scans a good idea?
For some people, I'm sure. I have been off the road for a couple of weeks, and it's been lovely. I'm more in favor of the frequent flying people get their own line, because apparently I don't think there's anything worse than flying from New York to Orlando in February when all the people are going to Disney World and they don't think that, yes, it applies to you, mm-hmm. that you must have a photo ID out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the amateurs should have one line and the travelers should have the other line.
Yeah.
I'd be more in favor of that.
Yeah. It's not just first class. It needs to be something like how quickly you go through security with efficiency. You get like gold stars or something, right?
Well, now that to me is the real reality show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I think a reality show where, you have to get through LaGuardia in a Easter rush when people are going to Orlando. How long will it take you?
Yeah.
You know, what line do you pick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, though, the best thing happened. I think I was in Denver, and it was early, early morning, and I was getting on a plane, and I had to go through security, and I sort of, like, was drowsy and walking away from the security area, and I said to the guy who was behind me, I said, do I have all my clothes on? Oh, he was so funny. He said, oh, if I had a nickel for how many times people have asked me that.
Oh, how funny.
I thought, oh, my God, you're funny early. Thank you.
Well, and now they're hiding these bombs everywhere. I mean, I thought shoes
was the
oddest place.
I know. And I think probably if we weren't sending drone planes into countries and bombing their civilians, it would be a nice way to kind of keep these things from, you know, even starting in the first place or actually going and... I've always been a big fan of going to Iraq, going to Afghanistan, Iran, Yemen, and building malls.
Yeah.
Because that would presume electricity. It presumes water. We'd let them buy things, flat panel television, pastels, their mattress with the right sleep number. You know, I mean, it totally pacified us.
It's true.
There.
Are we just apathetic? Are we... As a country, do we feel like we are, what is the word I'm looking for? Not apathetic. Do we think we're just immune from all of this, of the world's ills? Is 9/11 such a distant memory?
It is for some people. It is for people who, you know, weren't alive then. I mean, it's history. I don't know. I think actually there are people, poor dear people, who are out of work. They're not watching Fox News. They're in long lines trying to get jobs. They're in insane phone conversations, talking to eight people at a bank trying to keep their house. You know, they're in food lines. I mean, the level of the problem and the suffering of the problem is huge.
Yeah.
So I think there's certainly, well, there's no middle class left. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think that there's certainly apathy and, you know, we're being, at some level, people are definitely, you know, they send an email and they think they've done something.
Yep.
But on the other level, I think there are people who are just like trying to get by.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how they're going to get, you know, how they're going to triage their money, their monthly money, if they have any.
Yep.
Or, you know, oh, my God, or their college loan bill. I mean, I think that could drive anybody into a stupor of apathy.
So how do you find the funny in the second Great Depression? I mean, is Tiger Woods what we have? Is Tiger Woods what we have to find the funny? And that's even sad and pathetic and...
Yeah.
You know, how far they fall. I mean, where do we find the funny?
Well, I'll tell you, it has been a challenge in the last few years, even though Bush was just, you know, a wonder of mangled language and, you know, dumb like a fox, you know, and I remember one time I was in Provincetown, and I was there writing, and I was standing in the post office line, and this guy said to me, "So, what are you writing about?" And I said, "Genocide, abortion." He looked at me, and he said, "Funny."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that it is a challenge, certainly, but I think it's the only thing that really gets us through. I do think that there is a wonderful moment of people together laughing about things that are just terrifying them that is good. I don't want it to, I mean, that's my first goal is to make people laugh, absolutely. But I don't want to, like, dispel that energy so people can, go home and be totally relieved and not feel like they have to do anything. I'd like humor into activism is ideally what I would like to have happen.
Right.
But, you know, I think there's tragedy and that becomes farce. So
right.
I learn from, some of the humorists of the past, like Moms Mabley, of early Richard Pryor, of how to turn the tragedy of racism and sexism into humor. And then I try not to make the audience cry.
Yeah. Well, because you're very smart.
But I do that sense sometimes that people are like, I call it the "we're fucked" clap. They're clapping, but you can just see them going, I think I should be crying. I'm not really sure.
I feel very confused in this moment. It's funny, and it's like watching car crashes, you know? I mean,
right.
Sometimes that can be funny, and if you think about the reality of what's happening, very terrifying.
Exactly.
Well, as you talk about kind of your mission to bring the funny and, you know, talk to people about important issues, turn it to activism, I mean, it's the end of the Oprah Winfrey Show. Does that leave a space out there for you to tell us how to feel, what to buy, and who to vote for?
Absolutely, and I believe it's based for my own one-hour show, but
yeah.
No calls yet. Well, I think that it's a mistake to think that Oprah is leaving. I think that she's so ahead of the curve that she is plugged in somehow into the new media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she might be shutting that thing down, but I'm telling you, it's going to be there's an Oprah project happening somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, because she's just so on it. And, you know, it would also be fine if she just, said, forget it, I'm going to Africa and really working in that school I set up.
Yeah.
Not crazy-ass things happening.
Yeah. But we're going to go through Oprah withdrawal, don't you think, even if she'll be around?
I do absolutely think that people will. I have never actually watched Oprah Winfrey full through a show because I get so nervous by the level of stupidity of some of the people. I'm the kind of person, I've never sat in a chair and watched Oprah. I'm always sort of at the door ready to run out.
Mm.
Just like, oh, she did not say that. That's so sad.
Yeah. She's always been a bit friendly on the gay issues, but at the same time, she always seems baffled by them. And I'm like, really? After 25 years, you're baffled by our issues? But she does give a forum. But I think she plays that very middle America or maybe, more conservative America kind of baffled. Really? Lesbians do that? You know, lesbians get married and then become lesbian, or you can be gay and not gay or kind of gay.
But you're so pretty. How could you be a lesbian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think that she's much more probably canny than that in her personal life. I mean, all gay people work on her show, for God's sakes.
Exactly.
And she's definitely reading her numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So where do you get your news? I mean, you are in the middle of all of this new technology. You blog, you vlog, you Twitter, you Facebook. What's your source for news?
I read the New York Times in bed in the morning with my girlfriend and just take notes of what comes out of her mouth.
Now, see, that's sexy. That's a relationship
isn't that nice?
That's
nice.
I know.
Nice. Now, wouldn't that be the television show?
That would be. I'd just watch you guys in total silence in bed, reading the New York Times. That would be great. Yeah.
And for some reason, since the Great Recession, she has started getting the Wall Street Journal, which is absolutely insane. When Karl Rove has an op-ed piece, it's like a contact sport.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
So, I mean, I certainly have wonderful friends, too, that talk, and I write down things at dinner that they say.
Right.
Okay, I'm shameless. And they know I'm doing it now. They go, okay, you're going to use that, right? I'm like, yeah, thanks.
Right.
But we get in way too many magazines, and I read lots of, trash, and then, I don't know, the Paris Review.
what is Kate Clinton's guilty pleasure? Do you have one?
My guilty pleasure. I really could just do crossword puzzles all day.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't know. That seems a little too class A to be a guilty pleasure, but I'll give it to
you. Oh, okay. Thank you.
It's probably more of a healthy obsession is, you know, it elevates your brain. It means you won't lose your memory. They say that people who work those crossword puzzles are... My grandmother works a crossword puzzle, and she's 101, and she remembers more than me. It happens. Well, everybody, Kate Clinton and the Lady Ha Ha Tour, they're out on the road starting January 22nd in St. Louis. She's going to be traveling to Kansas City, Chicago, Houston, San Francisco, and more. She's also taking a trip with the RSVP Vacations, which on a boat with men for 5 days. That's fun. And They what?
They don't even see me for days. Right? It's like totally anonymous. And then I do my show and they're like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's so lovely. They're so great. And she is probably coming to a city near you. I did not list all of the tour dates. So if you want all of those and more information on Kate and her books and the new paperback, I Told You So. It's in hardback, but if you want to get it in paperback for the beach read, visit KateClinton.com. And Kate is stopping by Chicago one night only this month in January at the Center on Halsted, 3656 North Halsted, on Sunday, January 24th at 6 o'clock. Come and join us all there. Kate, thank you so much for being on the show, and we are so glad that you are out there fighting the good fight for us and trying to make us laugh.
Oh, thank you, honey. It's my pleasure. What else would I do?
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. So, Deb, 2010.
Yep. Yes.
2010.
The year of flying safer than any other time in the world, including those body scanners. You've seen those new body scanners at the airport? What do you think about those?
I am wondering what it will do to my body in 10 years. If it erases lines and wrinkles and tightens cellulite, I'm for it.
You'll get frequent flyer miles. Where's Amy? She's at the airport again. Yes.
Yes. Wouldn't that be funny if they ran tests on us in like a decade after that? And they're like, it actually reduced ages and, age in lines.
I would love that. I would love that.
Regenerist. Get or body scanned. Travel the world.
I like your commercial voice there.
Thank you.
It's a little better than the Slap Chop guy. Do you get that commercial?
No. I don't watch commercials. I TiVo. Oh.
I know. Isn't that nice to PVR? Just whip right through. Well, I got to tell you, it's been on the tip of everyone's tongue. Of course, security in Canada, traveling into the United States or anywhere, thanks to December 25th particularly. Mm-hmm. Those body scanners, I've looked at the images, and they really show a lot. and people are wondering if that is going to feel like people are feeling infringed upon or safer because of it. So it's going to be a hot-button topic. I'm not sure that we're going to have any say in how often they're used, but...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's crazy that we haven't been looking more specifically at certain countries coming into our country.
Right.
And doesn't everybody get scanned and routed and they know that you went from here to here to here to here? Can't they, like... the last 20 places that you traveled on a lineup, and if you've been through a certain country, that you're on a different alert. I'm sorry, you just are. I don't get it.
Yeah, but Buddy didn't even have a passport, and his father had called to alert, and he still got on. You know, and that's the scary stuff, and that's the stuff that it's made public. The other stuff, we will never, I mean, God only knows, really, what we don't know. But I just think it's very interesting. And speaking of the science fiction kind of sounding of the year that we've just entered into in 2010, it does seem so incredible to have this full body scan without showing, you know, bones, but showing everything else, at the airports now. It just seems all very timely and so advanced.
Yeah. It's the wave of the future. We're not flying in our little flying cars yet, though.
No, not yet.
No Jetsons. When were the Jetsons? Weren't they like in 2010?
I don't know what year. Someone's going to Google that right now, though.
Oh, I might
Google
have
and let
to.
Us know right on the bottom of the what you're looking at the podcast. Google and comment so you can answer Amy's question. When were the Jetsons?
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know when they were. Hold on. I'm trying to... the Jetsons TV show. I don't know if I can...
Da, 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 da.
Did it even say? I don't even know if it said. Somebody might know that. Yeah, definitely figure out that idea, because I don't know when the Jetsons were. I know when it aired, it came on in the early 60s, but what year it was supposed to be. That's a good trivia question if you want to use it on your Proud FM.
Yeah, I may just do that.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, Deb Pierce, I look forward to spending more time with you on the air in 2010.
And listen, I'd love to come down to Chicago again. I know since we discovered Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Our
track record is pretty damn good.
Yeah. So, listen, you and I make magic together, friend, and I should come back down to Chi-Town and check it out.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
In
2010. All the best to you in 2010, 210, 2010, Y2K plus 10.
Excellent. And to all our listeners, we're happy that you're with us another year here on the Windy City Queercast. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.